Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Well, the Lord tells us to remember these things. He intends for us to stop what we're doing and consider it and think about things. And in our fast-paced world, we don't stop and think about a lot of things. We are quick to run on to the very next thing. Instead, we're supposed to meditate, think upon. Meditation is nothing more than thinking on something over and over again. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. And God wants you to have these times where you just slow down. Think about your life, where you're headed, where you're going. Most people are going 90 miles an hour nowhere. Most car accidents happen because people are in a hurry. Somebody's in a hurry. And when we come to worship, we're not to be in a hurry. We're to slow down and think deeply about God's presence and the love He's showing us right now. That He allowed you to be here today. He gave you the health to get up and come. He allowed you to have a vehicle to get here. Clothes to wear. Health to be able to walk into this building. Just begin to thank God for His goodness. You know, most of my Easter sermons, as I look back, were attempts to try to prove to non-believers that Jesus is alive. And I would, like a lawyer, began to break things down in Scripture and try to prove the point that Jesus is alive. And there's nothing wrong with that, but today that's not what my attempt to do is. I believe my assignment today is to help you to realize there's a grace from God that's available to all of us, regardless of who you are, called resurrection grace. It's the ability that I don't even think the majority of the church has yet to tap into, be honest with you. I know my first years as a Christian at 19, I received the Lord in my life, and I'd been baptized 3 times, and it didn't take. And I knew it. I knew it. I just had to come to terms with it. And, I got saved and didn't understand everything that happened to me, but I knew there was something different. Although I still would slip back into sin and backslide and do all kinds of things, and truth is, still do. I heard all the air suck in right then. I was I'm just being honest with you. But I have a grace upon my life that I've never known before outside of that encounter back at 19 that I didn't understand, and it was grace. Resurrection grace. And I didn't understand it then. I understand it more now, but yet there's more to understand. Grace is an incredible subject, and it's interesting that we're called Grace Tabernacle. That was God's choosing, by the way. I think we had so many different names for the church when we were going to start, like devil chasing, toe-to-toe against Satan, tongue-speaking, Bible-believing church of the living God. But that was a little bit too long. And so God gave us simple, I want you to be Grace Tabernacle. I want you to be the place where I tabernacle my grace. You show people my grace. You demonstrate my grace. You help them understand grace. That's what changes everything. And I began to understand that grace is not just something you get saved and forgiven because Jesus died on the cross, but grace is something you encounter. It gives you strength, and sometimes strength to deal with issues, sometimes strength to endure things, sometimes strength to go through things, sometimes a strength to do things that comes from God, and you know it's from God, but you just don't understand it, and you can't explain it. I'm manifesting that right now to you, standing before you, preaching to you. And I was the kid growing up in school that was too shy. I couldn't raise my hand to ask the teacher a question. And now I'm standing before you preaching, and it's by the grace of God. Amen. I know it, and it's hard for me to convey that to you, hard to make it clear. But when Jesus went through everything he went through, when he died, then he was buried in the tomb. And I've been there in that, seen that tomb, and that's awesome. And it's empty, by the way. And but on Easter Sunday, as Jesus predicted, and the Bible predicted that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead, the very same body that was nailed to the cross came out of the tomb. Now, there was no mistake that he was dead. But when he came out, it was with this very same body. Do you know that today in heaven, the only man-made thing in heaven are the scars of Jesus? Ain't nothing man-made in heaven except that. Jesus wears those scars as a badge. I've conquered death. I've conquered your greatest enemy. I've conquered all this. And here's the scars to prove that I was dead, but I am he who was alive, just like Paul said. So what happened after the resurrection? Very quickly, it was a summary. Well, we know that Jesus was on this earth for 40 days, and he showed himself alive to only his disciples. Now, if I'd been Jesus, and be thankful I'm not, but if I had been Jesus, I'd have showed myself alive to Herod. I'd have showed myself alive to Pilate and say, look at this. Now what do you say? I mean, I'd have gone back to the Roman soldiers and said, you see what you did to me? I went to everybody who denied me. But God didn't do that. He only showed himself alive to his disciples who believed in him. Same thing is true today. Why? Because faith is the only thing you can give to God that pleases him. That's right. Faith is I trust you. Faith is I believe you. Faith is I trust you and believe you more than my physical senses tell me. You can't see God right now, but you can experience him by faith. But if you try to experience him by your senses, you're probably not going to get anything. Oh, you might get goosebumps when a certain song comes along, or you might feel this or feel that for a moment. That's emotion or your physical or whatever. But you're not going to experience the resurrection grace that Jesus wants us to experience. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is now available to actually live his life in us and through us. And that's what happened in the early church. You look at the history. What happened after 40 days? Well, the Bible says Jesus went up. He ascended. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, there were 500 people that saw him at one time. His physical body went up in the air. He ascended. And after that, on Pentecost, 10 days later, Jesus, the Holy Spirit came down. And you could basically say it this way, three things happened. Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, the church went out. And that's what we've been doing ever since, in resurrection power, resurrection grace, to go out and do things that we could not do on our own, to go out and be a genuine witness with testimony, with signs and wonders confirming that Jesus is actually in us and we're not just talking a bunch of talk. It's available. Resurrection grace. And the sad truth is, probably about half of the church hasn't experienced that yet. I mean, the majority of the believers in the church are people who say, I've been born again, I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But there's not been a whole lot of change in them. You know, they're forgiven. They know they're forgiven. They got peace when they received the Lord in their life. But they're just very little change. They live in pretty much the same as they lived. There ain't been much change. I experienced that too. That's the way I was. When I got saved, I got saved. I knew that I had the Lord in my life. There was no doubt I had him in me. But man, I was still going back to things that I knew I wasn't supposed to go to. And I thought, why do I still want these things when I have experienced the Lord? I didn't experience resurrection grace operating through me. I was still a Christian, but I was living by my five senses, you know, your sight, your hearing, your smell, the taste and touch. I was living this way with the flesh, trying to experience God. And something was missing. Well, what was missing was I wasn't tapping into resurrection grace. And it was ignorance on my part. I wasn't taught. I was taught basically back in the traditional church that, you know, you get saved and after that you just slug it out with the devil as best you can while you're here till you get to heaven. That's all I knew. Bad thing was the devil was winning. And I didn't know anything about resurrection grace. And Paul addressed this to the church. He said in Romans chapter 6, he said to the church, he said, don't you know that we who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, everybody say therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Baptism is a symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. You're identifying with Jesus. You're saying, I believe that Jesus died in my place. He was my substitute. He died on the cross for me. He's innocent. I'm guilty, but he died in my place. And then when you go down in the water, you stop breathing. It's a symbol of burial. I believe that my old sinful nature, my old me, is dead now because I identify with Christ. I'm crucified, and it's buried. And then you come up out of the water. It's a symbol of the resurrection. Now, by the grace of God, I'm going to learn to live a new way by resurrection grace. And then it says that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, only God can do this, so that we also, everybody say, we also, should walk in newness of life. So let me ask you a question. Since your spiritual birth, have you noticed a newness of life? You should. Amen. I'm not saying you're perfect, because you're not. You still got the flesh to deal with. You still got the world to deal with and all those things. But you notice a newness of life. What is that? That's the resurrection grace. Thank you, Lord. I wish somebody had told me what you're hearing today. And the early church demonstrated it this way. Look what happened in Acts chapter 4 after Pentecost. Look at this. This was one snapshot picture of the church in Acts chapter 4. All the believers were of one heart and one soul. In other words, you begin to have a love for the people of God that you don't even know. Amen. You have a kindred spirit. You begin to love the church. You begin to love people. You begin to love people because God loves people. And you love the church, especially because they love God, and you guys love the same Father. You love God and you love one another. So you begin to have this oneness that comes about by Jesus living inside. You begin to love the things that God loves. They were one heart and one soul, and no one said that what he possessed was his own. Wow. You're my brother, you're my sister, I'm here to help you. If I need to help you with what I have, I'll help you with what I have. But to them all things were in common. Wow, when you get a church united like that, power. Notice, with great power, the apostles testified, witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say the rest with me, and not just the apostles. Amen. Great grace, great strength, great ability, Amen. Great power. great working, great gifts of the Spirit, great to be able to do things they could not do in their normal life. They had great grace on them all. That's resurrection grace that God's church, who believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, can live in and operate in, and it's the ability of God. See, all I knew as a 19-year-old was salvation grace. That's all I knew. Someone shared the gospel with me, and I understood it for the first time. A light bulb turned on, and I said, oh, that makes sense to me. And I prayed a prayer that I'd prayed many times before, but this time with faith, and I experienced salvation grace, which is unmerited favor. Yes, that's the way we describe it. It's unmerited favor. It's God just loving you and giving you mercy and grace. For by grace, unmerited favor, you're saved. You receive salvation through faith, trusting God's word, not of your own effort or of your good works. It's a gift from God. So you don't go around bragging that you did something amazing, because that's a tendency of human nature. That was salvation grace. But it was years later before I experienced resurrection grace. And resurrection grace is different. It's learning to live in the newness of life by the power of the Holy Spirit who is now living inside you. Most of which you've ignored him most of your life, and you got saved, you got forgiven, but you just walked out the church doors not realizing that you have now the Holy Spirit of God living inside you to teach you how to walk and talk and live a different life. But you went out and you just totally ignored him, and you just did the best you could. And you struggled, and you, like me, you cried and whined and began to even question whether or not you were saved, because you slipped right back into the same old things you did before. Am I the only one here? Is there anybody else that can say, yeah, I've been there, yeah. Rest of you are lying like dogs. It's okay, it's a salvation day, praise God. Resurrection grace, though, you got to understand, it's the ability of God. Not you. It's the ability of God in you and through you by you simply yielding to the Spirit of God, learning to yield to Him, and then God doing supernatural things through your life that absolutely just blow your mind. Wow! God doing that through you. And He makes you look good. He makes you look like, boy, you're really a good preacher. You know what kind of preacher I'd be without the Spirit of God in me? Dull as dirt. God is able to make all grace, ability, resurrection grace. He's able to make all grace abound to you. Amen. So you can have all sufficiency to do all the things that God wants you to do. There are assignments on your life. There are things on your life that are coming that are going to be huge, and you will not be able to face them or deal with them without resurrection grace operating through you. You won't be able to handle it. That's right. You need resurrection grace, and this is what God is willing to give you freely. But you have to have faith. Amen. Now, it's interesting that after Jesus was resurrected, on the day he was resurrected, most of his disciples didn't recognize him. Hello? They've been with him. Some for 3.5 years, and Jesus is resurrected. You're not going to recognize him? Look what happened. Look at the example. Mary Magdalene, the first one at the tomb. She thought he was the gardener. He finally had to tap her on the head and say, Mary, look at me. It's me. It's not the gardener. She didn't recognize his voice. She didn't recognize him. The Emmaus disciples, they were so discouraged and depressed because they'd seen Jesus crucified on the cross. They knew that he was dead. Then they heard rumors about Jesus being resurrected, and they didn't even believe it. They were depressed, and Jesus came along walking right beside them. They thought he was a stranger. He walked with them probably for an hour, and it went on into the evening. He sat down to have a meal with them, and when he broke the bread, it said their eyes were open. Why didn't they recognize him before? And Jesus, when he appeared in this room, resurrected that night, and all the disciples were gathered together, and he walked through a wall. Hello? He walked through the wall and said, "Here I am." And they said, "Who is he?" He had to show them his scars. "It's me. You know, Jesus. It's me." Why did he have to show his disciples, "It's me"? They had seen him. They'd been around him. Why? In John chapter 21, verse 12, Jesus appeared to the disciples, and it says, not one of them dare ask him, "Who is he?" But they wanted to ask, who are you? And then Matthew 28, they'd spent 3.5 years with him, and this was in the room, and he's giving them last instructions before he's getting ready to leave earth. And some worshiped him, but very interesting, three words, but some doubted. Why? He'd been with them. He ate with them. He slept on the ground with them. He ate food with them. He traveled with him. They touched. How come they didn't recognize him? One answer. In the Bible, Apostle Paul tells us the answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, the natural man, that's the man without the Spirit of God living in him, the man who's not born again, the man who's not spiritual, all he is flesh. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, Jesus' resurrected body was not just a natural body anymore. It was a resurrected body. He's resurrected by the Spirit of God. Oh, he's flesh and blood, but he's no longer just a natural man, human. He's spiritual. And God is a spirit. And if you're going to discern the things of the Spirit of God, you have to be spiritual. Spiritual things discern spiritual things. You have to have the Spirit. And that's why the disciples didn't recognize him. They were still carnal. They were still living according to their five senses. You know, sight and hearing and smell and taste and touch. That's all they knew. They hadn't been born again of the Spirit yet. But after they were born again of the Spirit, and after they experienced Pentecost, they began to discern spiritually. Oh, this new covenant means there's a new way to know God. By the Holy Spirit, discernment and faith. Oh, now that's how we perceive God. There's a new way to live now. It's not according to the five senses that you have been dominated by most of your life, but now it's learning to be led by the Holy Spirit in you and by faith. Spiritually discerning. Because you have the ability to do that by resurrection grace. Holy Spirit living inside you. Now, I'm not condemning you when I tell you this, but you got to point out the truth to people. That's part of my responsibility as a pastor. The average Christian wants to experience God in some emotional way through the senses instead of enjoying what we already have by the Holy Spirit. We want to walk by flesh rather than by faith. See, we're used to living in the flesh, so I want to see God. I want to hear God. I want to taste God. I want to touch God. Fleshly. And today, most of the time, God does not honor that if you come seeking God that way. Now, in his mercy and grace, sometimes he lets you have an incredible encounter. I've had awesome experiences with God that were, I experienced in my emotions and things like that. But that's not the way God wants you to experience him. He wants you to experience him by the Spirit and by faith. Amen. See, in John chapter 3, Jesus was teaching about being born again. And he was trying to explain this to a rabbi who was supposed to know this. And he said to the rabbi, you've got to be born of the Spirit. Born again. You were born once in the flesh. But see, now you need to be born again, this time by the Spirit of God. Amen. If you're born once and you're not born again, then you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically one day when your body slumps over. But then you're going to go into a second death, which is called hell, separated from God for eternity because you didn't receive the remedy, Jesus. But if you're born twice, born of the flesh, here's my birth date, January 29th, but at 19 I was born of the Spirit of God, then guess what? You only die once. My body will fall asleep here one day, boom, but I'll be instantly in the presence of the Lord because I've been born of the Spirit. So. And Jesus was trying to explain this to a rabbi who's supposed to know this. He says, look, let me put it down in simple terms. What is flesh, and what is spirit. They're two different realms. And then he went on to say, the true worshipers are those who worship God in spirit and truth. By the Spirit. Resurrection grace. And the rabbi didn't understand that. He said, how can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? I don't know. If I was Jesus, I'd slap him upside the head that much. What is? I just told you what's flesh is flesh and what's spirit is spirit. Sometimes I think a slap is good. I don't know. That's just me. When I was in the Marine Corps, we were doing these drills, the rifle, and I was doing this thing, and for some dumb reason, I kept putting my finger out, and we were doing port arms. I'd click like that. My drill instructor came by and said, put your finger down, Washburn. Yes, sir. Yes, drill instructor, sir. And port arms. I did it again, and he was behind me, and he went, smack! Knocked that helmet off my head and rolling right over there. And you know what? I never did it again. I don't know. It worked. Something clicked up here. I needed that. And it worked. See, you don't understand. Many of you here in church today, and maybe you haven't been going to church a lot. Maybe you haven't just been taught. And you can go to church all your life, depending on the church you go to, and never be taught. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. That's not the same as joining a church. It's not the same as getting baptized. I was baptized 3 times before I got saved. It didn't take. There has to be a time in your life where you're born of the Spirit of God. We'll get to that in a moment. And once you're born of the Spirit of God, praise God, you're going to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. But only 1/3 of your salvation's over. What did he just say? Yeah. 1/3. See, you're born again spirit, and I have a capital S and a little spirit up there, because when you're born of the Spirit, God's Spirit comes in and he meshes with your human spirit, makes you a brand new creation that never existed before. It's not the same old barn with a fresh paint job. No. It is you're a new creation in your spirit. You have become alive in the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God, and your spirit are one new spirit living inside you that now hungers and longs for the things of God. Amen. And you discern the things of God. You pick up on the things of God. You desire, crave the things of God. But that's just 1/3 of you. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in an earth body. So the one part of you is wall-to-wall Jesus, that's your born-again spirit. In fact, your born-again spirit can't even sin. Reading 1 John. The problem that you and I have now is with our soul. our mind, will, and emotions, and our fleshly body. That's in the process of being converted. See, everything you wanted is really already in your born-again spirit. Your mind's got to be changed, and God won't change that for you. He tells you what to do with it. He says you need to renew your mind with my word. Read my word. Let your mind change so your thoughts are no longer your thoughts. Your thoughts change to my kind of thinking. That takes a lifetime, but you start. And then your body has to be disciplined, because your body has been the master of your life. Your body has been the boss. It's told you what to do, when you want to do it, and you just did whatever your body whims and desires and so forth. You've just kind of given over to it and let it be the boss. Well, when Jesus comes in and lives inside of you, you're under new management if you want to walk in that resurrection grace. So you now have the Holy Spirit living inside you. It's like there's a throne there inside of you. And there's a throne, and self has been on the throne most of your life. And from time to time, self gets back on the throne. And you've got to push self off and say, you're not the boss anymore. Get out of the way. Jesus is my Lord. I'm here to pay attention to him and let him live his life through me, through experiencing resurrection grace. And that's what God has available to every single one of us. And once you're born again of the Spirit, everything you need is already in your born-again spirit. Everything. Read it. It says it in the Word, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Everything you need is in here, your born-again spirit. You already have the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Don't pray for God to give that to you. You have it in you. You got to learn to draw it out. It's already in you. And Jesus said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, one of the worst prayers you can ever pray, a prayer of doubt and unbelief, is say, oh God, be with me if you're born again. What did you just say? Oh God, be with me. What did you just say? Did you receive Jesus? Yes, he's my Lord, my Savior. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So what are you telling God? God, come be with me. You don't believe him. That's doubt. That's unbelief. See, all this has got to change here. See, God is with me whether I feel him or not. There are wonderful times I've had with God where I have felt the presence of God. But there have been awful times in my life where I've waited for a feeling instead of just believing. One of those times years ago, I was a pastor, and I went to a conference called Signs and Wonders. So I was in a traditional church, and I knew there was more than what I was experiencing. So I began looking outside my denomination, and I wanted to know about miracles, signs and wonders, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And at this conference over in Titusville, I was getting frustrated because I'd hear these speakers every night get up and talk about these amazing miracles, signs and wonders, and presence of God and seeing angels and all that stuff. And I thought, man, that ain't ever happened to me. Something must be wrong with me. I'm a pastor. I want those things. So in the morning, I went out to have some quiet time alone with the Lord before going back to the conference the next day. And I went out on the jetty. There's some rocks. And I walked out across on the river. And I sat down out there on the farthest rock, had my Bible, and I was just talking to God like I'm talking to you right now. I said, God, I hear all these guys talk about all these incredible things. I ain't ever had anything like that happen to me. I mean, if you're not a respecter of persons, God, then let me have some kind of experience like that. I long for that. And I sat there, Bible on my lap. I felt a little breeze come by. I thought, is that it? Can't you do something more? About that time, a man back over on the seawall, he's saying, hey, you, what in the world? He's talking to me. They know what I'm okay. He saw me maybe lifting my hand, maybe thought I was in distress or something. I said, I'm okay, I'm all right. He kept hollering for me. He said, hey. I thought, oh man, I'm trying to be spiritual now. Look back over here. And I finally get back over to him, and I said, hi, how you doing? I'm okay. I know you saw. I'm just out here. I'm having time alone with the Lord, having prayer. I said, "Do you know the Lord?" I turned into an evangelist. "Do you know the Lord?" And he smiled at me with a great big smile. "Johnny, stand up," because this is what he looked like. But he had, "Stand up and look at everybody and give them your big smile." Okay. But this guy, he was a black man, and he had, but his beard was totally, it looked just like Johnny, except he had an all-white beard. And he said, I said, "Do you know the Lord, you know?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, I know the Lord." Looked at me kind of weird, you know. And I, well, okay, I didn't know what else to do, and I small talked with him, and I said, "Well, I'm Gary, what's your name?" He said, "My name's Emmanuel." And I said, "Emmanuel, that's an unusual name. Do you know what that name means?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, I know what it means." I said, "It means God with us." He said, "Yeah, that's right." And I couldn't figure out why he would just want to talk to me. I said, "I've got to get back out here. I've only got a little time left. It's nice to meet you. Hope you have a great trip home." And I went back out here and got on my rock and got my Bible. And I said, "Lord, I've only got a few minutes. Would you? I need to. Why don't you let me experience something supernatural of you?" I was disappointed, took my Bible and went back into the room and had a couple of the guys with me. We shared a little bit of our devotion time. I said, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" And then they asked me, "What happened to me?" And I started retelling the story. And I'm telling you, I'm dumb as a rock. It did not dawn on me until I was retelling the story. I said, "There was this black man, he came over and he said his name is Emmanuel." He said his name was Emmanuel, and he had the nicest smile. And I don't, to this day, I don't know why he won't talk to me. Said, "Wow, God," and "Wow" backwards, "Wow." Was that an angel? Was it a man you sent? To this day, I don't know. God in his mercy helped me even in the flesh when he wants me to discern him more by the Spirit. And I've had awesome encounters after that. But after that encounter, I never asked God for another fleshly sign, wonder. I've never asked him for that. But I've had them, but I've never asked him for it. It was mercy that he let me experience that. See, believing God has to be more than just your fleshly feeling, goosebumps. "Ooh, I feel God," this and that. Because that's why the disciples didn't recognize Jesus. And see, the majority of the church is still walking in the flesh. And they're missing God. They're not discerning with the Spirit. They have resurrection grace on them, but they're not experiencing him in their life. And believing God means that we believe God and we act upon his word above what we see, hear, feel, or think. That's a growth process, but you've got to get there. You've got to move beyond waiting for a physical touch. The Bible says that God has distributed to every man a measure of faith. Every human being has a measure of faith. And the measure of faith that God has given every individual is this. It's the amount you need for the issues you're going to have to deal with in your life. So every man, even before you're born again, God gives you a measure of faith. So you can believe him and come to God gives you his faith so you can even be saved. But faith is something. Faith just simply means trusting God, taking Him at His word, believing His word, and acting upon His word. And faith is released simply by believing and speaking what God says. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians. He says, we have the same spirit of faith. As it is written, I believe, therefore I've spoken. So we believe and therefore speak. You don't need more faith. You just need to use faith you have. You don't need more faith. You have faith. Every man has a measure of faith. And Jesus said, and last week we talked about this, He said, have faith in God. Remember when He cursed the fig tree because it didn't have any figs on it? There was no outward change at that moment. It wasn't until the next day that Jesus and the disciples were walking by that same tree, and Peter noticed, Lord, that's that tree you cursed yesterday. It's withered up by the roots. And Jesus just said, have God's faith, Peter. For truly I say to you, if you speak to this mountain, it'll obey you. Have the faith that God's given you. Now speak it and use it. Don't go around just say whatever you want to say. You learn to discern what the Spirit of God is telling you to say. And you say the same thing that God is saying. You're agreeing with God about the situation. You're not agreeing with the report of the doctor. That may be facts and so forth, but facts can change. You agree with God. What does God say? By His stripes, I am healed. I'm agreeing with God, and I'm speaking what God says. And when I do that, the same thing can happen. So walking in resurrection grace, and we'll land the plane here, walking in resurrection grace is being Spirit-led. That's what God wants for this church and every church that belongs. He wants you now to learn. Once you're born again, now learn how to be led by the Spirit. Learn how to spiritually discern things. What's flesh is flesh, but Spirit is Spirit. They're two different realms. So He wants you to start saying what God says about the situation. Not repeating what your body's telling you or your emotions are telling you, but say what God is saying. And then act on it. Just do what God tells you to do. And watch what happens. God will remove the mountain. And we prayed that last week together, united. And in my imagination, it's already done. It's done. Thank you, God, for removing the mountain of debt. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. See, and when you start acting that way, you're agreeing with God rather than your senses. And then God is free to work through your life and do things that you could never do. Well, I know this about God's Spirit. God's Spirit will urge you. He'll urge you. He'll never pressure you like or drive you like you got to do this. He'll urge you. He'll put an urgency in your heart. I need to do this. I believe God's leading me. He will prompt you by the Spirit. Many of you are going to be prompted in the next few minutes by the Spirit of God. God's going to prompt you. It's like, this is your moment. This is your time. This is for you. I'm calling you. He's going to prompt you. He will lead you, but He'll never force you. You can say no to God. I want to ask our intercessors to come up here and join me. These are folks that are Spirit-led people, elders and intercessors. They know how to discern the Spirit of God. They're going to be a vessel that God is going to use to help you in the next few minutes. Whether it's a healing you need in your body or your soul need to being saved, or deliverance, you got torment from demons that need to be cast out. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Spirit of God leads His church to do these things. He's given us power and authority to do that. So in a moment, I'm going to let them just be loose to pray for you. If you need prayer, you can come up to any one of them in just a moment. Or you can stay seated where you are, and in a moment when people kind of gather out, they'll come and they'll pray with you, minister to you. So that makes it about as easy as it can possibly be. We got to give God something to work with. That is your faith. Your faith has to respond to what God is saying before it's faith. It's the only thing you can give to God that pleases Him. Now, I said to you earlier, and you got to believe what God says. Then you got to act on what God says and do what He tells you to do. Faith without works is a dead faith. And God wants you to, number one, be born of the Spirit of God. Amen. Again, you could believe in God and not be born again.
Right.
You could be baptized many times and not be born again. There has to be a time in your life where you're born of the Spirit of God. It's a miracle of God. But your cooperation is needed with that. And that is, you believe God and you act upon what He says. Quite simply, to be born again is a very simple process for your part, because your part is believing and receiving. God did all the heavy lifting when He put Jesus on the cross. He did that for you and for me. Would you stand to your feet right now and look at me and pay close attention for the next few seconds? Because some people just don't know. It's not a condemnation because you don't know. You have to be told. How shall they hear without having a preacher? That's part of my job, is to make sure you hear what the Lord is saying. Not what I say, but what God says. God said, Jesus said, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit. You must be. How do I do that? Very simple. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that He's alive right now. If you believe that, let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus is alive right now? Do you believe that? I can't answer that for you. I believe that at 19, I believe that. But then it said that wasn't enough, because the demons in hell believe and tremble. One more thing is necessary to be faith. Faith that's released. And that's this. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is your Lord. The only way of salvation. The only one. You confess it with your mouth. He didn't say you think it with your mind. He said you confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart. You already said you believe it in your heart. That's good. You're in church today. I suppose you do believe. Next step is agree with God. Confess with your mouth, Jesus, you're my Lord. From this time on, come live in me. Make me born again. Pray this prayer with me right now if you've never done it. Let's just settle the issue once and for all. Oh God, I do believe in you. And right now, in the best way that I know how to do, I confess with my mouth to you, God, Jesus is alive. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Take the throne of my heart right now, this moment. I believe you, and I'll do what the Holy Spirit prompts me to do in Jesus' name. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, that's wonderful. You said it out loud, that's great. I want to urge you to do something that may be difficult, but it's very important. I want to urge you, if you really meant it, you won't be ashamed. You'll be glad. You'll be free. The burden will be lifted. I'm going to ask you to do what Jesus said to do. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. I'm not saying you got to give a speech, but I'm going to say, come up here and stand with me right now and say, I'm letting you know I prayed that prayer. I just received Jesus. I want you to come and stand with me right now. Whether you're a member of this church does not matter. You come and stand right now and settle that issue once and for all. Drive away all doubt, all fear. Start moving. Start doing it now. The Holy Spirit's prompted you. God brought you here today. Settle this issue. Come right here and stand with me. Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you. I prayed that prayer with you. God bless you. That is awesome. That is wonderful. How beautiful. How beautiful. Wow. What's your name? What's your name?
JC.
Jace? His name is JC. Joe?
Camden.
JC.
JC, Joe Camden.
That was meant to be.
That was meant to be. JC, meet JC.
Yeah.
Carolyn.
Yeah. And what's Gloria. Your?
I'm Gloria.
And Gloria. Glory, hallelujah.
Gloria.
Praise God. So today, let's just be clear. Did you receive Jesus as Lord, God, and only Savior? Did you ask the Holy Spirit come live in you? Okay. So if we were able to look inside your heart right now, is Jesus on the throne?
Yes.
Okay. He's promised you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There'll be times you feel like he has, but he never has. He wants you to learn to live by the Spirit and what the Word says rather than feelings. Okay, he's going to help you. That's awesome. Well, some of our elders are going to pray with you. And Barb, if you just pray with JC this side, and Joe, if you'll pray with JC on this side. I know there's more, and I don't want to belabor it, but I'm just going to give 30 more seconds, 30 seconds. Somebody's saying in their mind, boy, if you would just give me a few more seconds, I'd come. I'd receive Jesus. God bless you, honey. That's awesome. Mom, God bless you. God bless you, Joseph. 15 seconds. 10 seconds. There's going to come a day, just like the Ark of Noah closed, there's going to be a last invitation. 5 seconds. He's running to the altar. Wow. What is your name? Jacob. God bless you, Jacob. This is sister. God bless you. Do you know what you just did? Did you ask the Lord Jesus come into your life to be your Lord and Savior? You're born of the Spirit now. Now you need to grow. Okay. You got to grow in understanding spiritual things, and God will help you. You have a Bible? They don't have a Bible. Will somebody make sure they get a Bible before you leave? Okay. And you need to start reading the New Testament. And when you open that Bible, just ask God to, God, help me to understand who you are and what you're like. And start to read it real slow. Okay? Will you do that? Okay, will you come back next Sunday and tell me you're doing it?
Tell me what will be this Sunday.
Okay. Okay. When you come back, let me know you've done that. Okay. Come up to me. That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. And I want Renee and Sue. Would you take this brother and sister here and just talk to them a little bit and minister to them? Now, we're going to dismiss. Thank you for being with us this day. Next, we'll have service on Wednesday night, but next Sunday, please don't miss out. It is going to be an awesome time. I'm so looking forward to next week. But if you need prayer, you just sit back down, and our intercessors will come and minister to you. If not, we thank you for being with us. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and may you experience resurrection grace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here.